Welcome to Today on Broadway for Tuesday, June 28th, 2016. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway star's James Marino.
James, lots of new things happening. We talked about it yesterday. It's a new season. Flowers are blooming. Birds are chirping. New Broadway shows are being announced. And just like that, we need everybody's support over on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play, or wherever you get your podcast. Give us a rating. Give us a review. Give us something to start the new season with on a positive note. We really appreciate it. And come over to Facebook and Twitter and follow us there and join in the conversation. We have fun talking with all the listeners over on social media. So join the conversation. We're fun people.
First up, another new announcement for a Broadway show, the show In Transit to pull into Broadway this fall.
Yeah, James, the last few weeks have been filled with unexpected Broadway announcements, and we got another one yesterday as the a cappella musical In Transit will be moving into the Circle in the Square Theater this fall, sometime after Fun Home closes on September 10th. Three-time Tony winner Kathleen Marshall will direct and choreograph, and while no cast or design team members were named, the show does feature music from Kristen Anderson Lopez of Frozen fame, along with James Allen Ford, Russ Kaplan, and Sarah Wordsworth, and it has vocal arrangements by Deke Sharon, who has kind of become the go-to guy for a cappella arranging. He's worked on all of the Pitch Perfect movies, as well as the NBC competition show The Sing-Off. The show played off Broadway at Primary Stages in 2010 and got modestly positive reviews and has been kicking around ever since. In fact, James, I went back in the Broadway radio archives today and found that our own Peter Felicia gave the show a pretty positive review on This Week on Broadway back in October of 2010. So we'll have a link to that if you're interested in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com. See, you always do that, but I was thinking ahead today. A few months ago in March, the great Lindsay Mendez, Aaron Mackey, Ben Crawford, and Colin Hanlon led a concert production of the show at 54 Below. Sorry, Feinstein's 54 Below. And I'll be interested to see if that cast ends up transferring to Broadway in part or as a whole. You know, James, we always talk about how much we want the best for every show, and we want everything to be a positive experience for all of the actors and the crew and the creators and the audience members. But I've got to be honest, I'm a little worried about this one. As hot as Kristen Anderson Lopez is coming off of Frozen, this show seems to kind of missed the whole a cappella craze that was going along when Glee was out there and Pitch Perfect was just starting. I mean, I guess Circle in the Square is the best Broadway venue for a show like this. But I can't help but feel that it's got a pretty steep climb to be a success. You know, normally I would think the producers would want to cast a decently big name to sell tickets in something like this. But I'd also have to imagine that there's a ton of other factors that come into play and come into consideration when you're trying to cast an a cappella musical.
So a cappella, you know, is is circular, and it gets hot and it gets cold and it gets hot and it gets cold. One thing that seems to be in my anecdotal thoughts about a cappella is that it's skewed towards a younger audience. And
sure,
maybe that's why it didn't have a Broadway presence, because it's much towards an audience that's not really buying Broadway tickets, but maybe they will be. And it's directly below the king of all, or should I say the queen of
the queen,
all,
yeah.
The queen of all Broadway shows, Wicked. So,
yeah.
You know, maybe there'll be some spill over there. And
I hope so.
You know, they could do some ham for hams in front of the Circle in the Square while Wicked people are going in and sell some tickets.
Yeah, I hope so, because I think this is really cool. We've talked before, anything that's outside the box, I'm always in favor of. I always want to champion as much as possible. So I hope that this they get a great cast. Hopefully some of those people from 54 Below will be a part of it. And I hope it does great odds defying business. I really, really do.
And you did some more homework because you have a video of Lindsay Mendez performing one of the songs. So we'll put that in the show notes as well.
Yeah. And there's also some videos from the 2010 Off-Broadway production as well.
Great. So next up, additional casting announced for Off-Center's Mr. Rosewater.
Well, James, speaking of surprising announcements, yesterday we learned that the legendary stage and screen icon James Earl Jones has joined the cast of the New York City Center Encore's upcoming off-center production of the Howard Ashman and Alan Menken musical Kurt Vonnegut's God Bless You, Mr. Rosewater. I know. He joins the previously announced Santino Fontana, who's making his second Encore's appearance in 3.5 months as Elliot Rosewater. And speaking of Pitch Perfect, Pitch Perfect's Skylar Astin as Norman Mushari. Mufasa himself will play novelist Kilgore Trout. Also announced as part of the cast are Rebecca Naomi Jones, Kate Weatherhead, Bryn O'Malley, Bonnie Milligan, Jeff Blumenkrantz, Eddie Corbich, and many, many more. God Bless You, Mr. Rosewater will run from July 27th through the 30th, with tickets starting at just $25 at nyciticenter.org. James, did you know Darth Vader could sing? I had no idea.
I am very excited about that. That is very cool. I love that.
Yeah, I don't know the score. I don't know the score very much, so I don't know if Kilgore Trout really does a whole lot of singing. But just the fact that to see the James Earl Jones in a musical is super cool.
Speaking of Pitch Perfect, did you see the pitches of Rebel Wilson at Wimbledon?
I did not see her at Wimbledon, but I did see her in her first official press photos as Adelaide.
Oh, really?
Yeah, from the West End production that we talked about before.
Broadway favorite Gordon Greenberg posted on Facebook a picture of a Rebel sitting in front of Pippa Middleton.
Pippa
is one row behind.
Very nice.
At Wimbledon.
Well, that's funny. You mentioned that Gordon directed the Guys and Dolls that that Rebel's going into over in the West End as she's replacing as Adelaide.
Ah, I see the connection there. I didn't make that connection. That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So next up, our weekly grosses. Tell us, how did the numbers come out?
Well, last week was a pretty strong one on Broadway, despite Saying Farewell to Eclipsed and The Father the previous week. Broadway saw a 2.46% increase at the total box office, inching within about $77,000 of $29 million for the week. That is the largest total gross for Broadway since April 3rd, when there were 36 shows running as compared to last week's 32. So a pretty good increase overall. Unsurprisingly, The Lion King and Hamilton led the way, topping $2 million apiece, followed by Wicked, Aladdin, The Book of Mormon, School of Rock, Waitress, and James's Pride and Joy, Paramore, all above $1 million.
Hey, we've got a cast recording coming from Paramore, you know.
Yeah, if you scroll down in the script, that comes up later. So now are you not only listening to me, you're not reading the notes that I send you ahead of time. That's okay. The Phantom of the Opera and Matilda were both within a few thousand dollars of joining the $1 million club as well. The big shock for me this week was that Shuffle Along, which announced its closing earlier in the week, was nowhere close to the $1 million mark, even though it has been within a couple thousand dollars for pretty much the last 2 months. The show dropped nearly $159,000 last week, bringing it in at just under $815,000 at the box office. What makes that even more surprising is that if you add up the losses of the other seven shows that were in the red last week, they only total out to a loss of $65,400. So Shuffle Along lost more than 2.5 times more than those seven other shows combined. So I tried to see if there were any absences to make note of that would have accounted for this big loss, and I couldn't really find anything. So if some listeners have some sort of theory as to why Shuffle Along dropped so much last week, please let us know, because that's really odd. Normally with something like The Color Purple, which we talked about last week, Cynthia Erivo being out makes sense, but I couldn't really figure it out. So maybe I missed some absences. So let us know either on Facebook or Twitter or in our emails, which you can find at BroadwayRadio.com. Go ahead. Do you have an idea?
Yes. Don't
tell
forget
me.
Group ticket sales can cancel their tickets.
That's true. I mean, but would there be a reason for them to cancel?
Yeah. Because the group ticket sales that booked tickets prior to the Tony Awards, then they didn't win anything at the Tony Awards, group ticket sales canceled their tickets.
That's a possibility, I guess. Yeah. I mean, they don't count those until the show happens.
Until the show happens, yeah.
Right. So that could be. I hope that's not the case, because from you and from everybody else who's seen it, it's such an amazing show that I hope that the fact that it got swept by Hamilton isn't discouraging people who'd already had plans to see it, especially since it's already announced closing. But speaking of shows closing, all three of the shows that closed on Sunday, especially Bright Star and Lincoln Center's The King and I, posted very strong final grosses. Bright Star was up nearly $159,000, and The King and I posted a more than $164,000 gain last week, going out in a strong note. Bright Star's bottom line increase was the fourth largest of the week, following Matilda in third, The King and I in second, and then the aforementioned The Color Purple, with Cynthia Erivo back in as Celie in first place, posting a $238,537 increase. So getting that bump that they probably should have had after the Tony performance and Cynthia's Tony win, but since she was on vacation, it was delayed a little bit. I hope that they didn't leave money on the table by letting her go on vacation that week, but good to see such a strong improvement after a slow week for them last time.
Yeah, it's, you know, these crazy numbers that we have right after the Tonys. This is a really good analysis of what is happening now and how we should be planning the rest of our summer purchasing patterns. I mentioned on This Week in Broadway that I am going out. I will be going to see Shuffle Along second week of July again. Bought tickets to take my wife to go see it, and I think that everybody should do that. Let's send them out on a really big note. Second Stage announces their new season, so tell us more about that.
Yeah, yesterday the Second Stage Theater announced three New York premieres for their 2016-2017 season. Their season will kick off in October with the New York premiere of Notes from the Field, Doing Time in Education, the latest work created, written, and performed by the incredible one-of-a-kind Anna Deavere Smith. The show will be directed by Leonard Nfoilia, whom collaborated with Smith on Let Me Down Easy, which had its New York premiere at Second Stage back in 2008. This season will continue in the winter of 2017 with a New York premiere of Pulitzer Prize and Tony Award winner Tracy Letts's 2003 play, Man from Nebraska, directed by the great David Cromer. Then next summer, Michael Greif will return to Second Stage after directing Dear Evan Hansen there this year for the New York premiere of Bruce Norris's new play, A Parallelogram. I suck at math, but I have a feeling that has nothing to do with Euclidean geometry. That's just my guess. A fourth main stage production for Second Stage will be announced at a later date. So, James, those are some pretty powerful playwrights coming to Second Stage next year.
Playwrights? I mean, playwrights and directors. I mean,
that's true.
Anna Deavere Smith and Leonard Nfoilia. I mean, Lenny is just an amazing director. Michael Greif, Dear Evan Hansen, that just wrapped up last season. Second Stage is doing it right.
They are.
Tracy Letts, David Cromer. I can't even imagine what the fourth is going to be. It's directed by God.
Well, maybe that's where An Act of God will be playing in their 2017 summer season.
All right. Leslie Odom updates his Hamilton recording status.
Yeah, a week or so ago, I can't exactly remember when at this point, but we talked about Leslie Odom Jr. saying on a Facebook live chat that at that point, he would not be a part of the film performances of Hamilton. There was no real reason given. No vacations had been announced before his July 9th exit, although it might have had something to do with the release of his album, because late Sunday night, Odom tweeted that the album release party had been pushed to July 11th, and at the same time, that Hamilton filming had started earlier that day and that he was happy to be a part of it. Then he included that two-hand emoji thing that I don't really know what it means, but I think it means like throw your hands in the air like you just don't care party thing. I don't really understand emojis. But anyway, according to audience member reports, Jonathan Groff was not on for King George during Sunday's performance, but a second filming session is scheduled for today, which means, like on Sunday, there is no cancellation line for Hamilton tickets. But the suspicion is, since Jonathan Groff has been confirmed for the filmed version, that he will be either playing King George in Tuesday's performance or that they will do King George's scenes separately on Tuesday as well.
Groff sauce.
Groff sauce.
All right. So Ham for Hill update.
Yeah. On Sundays this week on Broadway, James, you and I have gotten into a conversation with Peter Felicia about apparently two separate opportunities for people to see Hamilton along with Democratic presidential presumptive nominee Hillary Clinton. Peter mentioned a chance to win tickets to see the show for as little as $1. And you and I talked about the chance to get tickets for donations ranging from $2,700 to $100,000. We wanted to be clear that these are two separate things. Peter hadn't heard about the thing we were talking about. We hadn't heard about the thing Peter was talking about. So we will have links to both in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com in case you really want to try your hand at seeing Hamilton with Hill Dog. But be forewarned that the $2,700 tickets are sold out at this point. You can get on the waiting list, but the next level up is just a mere $5,000.
And also, I got the emails and messages and text messages and phone calls ribbing me because I did say that the Democratic National Convention was going to be in Cleveland, but alas, it is actually Philadelphia, not Cleveland. I made that mistake. The Republicans will be in Cleveland, and Peter picked the show that they'll be doing. What was it? The Perfect Crime?
Yes. So. Isn't there? I think. I want to say that there is a short play by David Ives called The Philadelphia, and I think he makes fun of both Philadelphia and Cleveland. I think it's David Ives. So I think this is very appropriate for this. So, James, that's going to be your assigned reading, is to read David Ives as The Philadelphia before our next This Week on Broadway.
I will try. And then there was one more thing about this. Oh, that's what it was. Somebody had asked me when they told me today that I was wrong about the Democratic National Convention. They asked if the extra performance, which is on a Tuesday morning, will that be part of the grosses? And I don't remember if extra performances, like maybe the Actors Fund benefit performances or something like that, are considered part of the grosses. But do you know anything about that?
I don't. My only thought about that is that, you know, with the Actors Fund, they are still buying tickets. I believe the way that these things are worded with Hillary are that they are considered donations to her victory fund, is what they call it, and that the ticket is the gift for donating to her campaign. So I'm not sure how that differs from Actors Fund performances. If you buy a ticket for the Actors Fund, and then, you know, how that works. But I'm not sure. It'll be interesting. Maybe somebody out there who's listening knows the inner workings of the Broadway League's grosses and stuff and could point us in the right direction.
All right. So we have some random announcements to tidy up here. Magic Mike, Broadway musical, has a brilliant director.
Yeah, these are really random, and you stole one of the random ones, so we'll get to that in a second. But apparently, while in Cannes, France, Stud Muffin, I couldn't even get that word out of my mouth without stumbling over it, apparently. Stud Muffin, I'm just going to skip it, I can't even say it. Channing Tatum confirmed that a Broadway musical adaptation of his stripper movie franchise Magic Mike was, in fact, in the works. In addition to a previously announced Magic Mike-based show in Las Vegas, Tatum said that they are currently working on a script for Broadway with a, quote, brilliant director. James, I don't know about you, but I cannot wait to see John Doyle's Magic Mike on Broadway.
That's funny. That's good. I like that.
You like that?
You think they'll play their own instruments?
I'm not going anywhere near that. That seems like that could go in so many wrong directions, James. I'm just going to move on and say, even though James spoiled it already, I was going to make a joke about getting this for your birthday, but it is the Paramore cast album. It was announced yesterday that the original Broadway cast of Cirque du Soleil's Paramore will head into the studio to record a cast album this Wednesday and Thursday in preparation for a late summer release. And James, we joked because you did not make it any secret how much you dislike this show, but you did say that the more theatrically based performers did give pretty good performances, especially vocally, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's a terrible show, but hopefully it'll be a better cast album, you know?
Yeah,
they have
absolutely.
Some really talented people up on the stage, and my dislike of that was really that Cirque was caught in no man's land. They didn't do a Cirque show, which I really love Cirque. they kind of tried to do a Broadway show without bringing in anybody who knew how to do a Broadway show from a director or a writer standpoint. And they got caught in the middle of in between Cirque and Broadway, and it wasn't very good. And I'm sad about that. But the cast recording should be great.
Cool.
All right. Jimmy Buffett gets a new creative team.
Yes. Well, yesterday, the previously announced Jimmy Buffett musical got an official name, Escape to Margaritaville, as well as a creative team, including Tony-nominated director Christopher Ashley, who is also the artistic director of the La Jolla Playhouse, where the musical will debut next year. Ashley will be joined by Tony-nominated choreographer Kelly Devine, Hamilton Tony winners Paul Tazewell and Hal Binkley, who will design the costumes and lighting respectively, along with Tony-winning sound designer Brian Ronan and scenic designer Walt Spangler. Performances will begin in La Jolla on May 16th, 2017, and James, just a little bit, I have to put my bias on the table here. I love Jimmy Buffett, but I'm a little uncomfortable about this show because 10 years ago, I spent a summer as a waiter at Margaritaville at Universal City Walk, and I still get a bit of PTSD when I hear the Volcano song. It sends me to a very dark place. So until I see the song list of Escape to Margaritaville, I am withholding judgment. But other than that, I love Jimmy Buffett. Come Monday is one of my favorite songs of all time. So other than Volcano song, I'm in good shape for this show.
So with Waitress making apple pies in the lobby, do you know where I'm going with this?
Well, you can either have cheeseburgers or margaritas. I mean, either one or both. Trust me, Jimmy Buffett and his folks, they know how to brand things. They are not shy about branding anything and everything possible.
I was going to ask you if you've been down to the Keys and to the his place down there.
I have not, but spending a summer working at Margaritaville at Universal, I've seen, I've heard more Jimmy Buffett than you could ever imagine, especially because we've really just ran about an hour CD over and over, so I heard the same songs 10 times a day. So, but I love Jimmy Buffett, but certain songs, it's a little much.
Well, I'm wasting away in Margaritaville. Get us out of here.
All right. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio. And you can find me on Twitter at BWW Matt. And subscribe to Something Like a Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
And I'm looking for my shaker of salt. My name is James Marino.
Salt.
I'm James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com, as well as ArtsAmerica.org. So check that out. And I will talk to you tomorrow. Nobody's fault.